authors for me is a man named Henri Nouwen, French. His name is spelled H-E-N-R-I, so it's Henri, you know, but everyone knows him by Henri Nouwen. And he was a really eminent theologian and spiritual writer. Many institutions of higher learning opened their doors to him. He was a prominent lecturer. I will not butcher the French, but the Institute of Liturgy and Theology in Paris. He also taught frequently at Notre Dame here in the United States. And he was truly world-renowned. And towards the end of his life, he began to have a crisis. What began to impact Henri Nouwen was being so prominent and so respected, sought after as a speaker and as a teacher and as a writer. What settled in for him was realizing that he, Henri Nouwen, was becoming the message. People looked forward to him speaking and not to the gospel that he wanted to preach. And so he did something truly remarkable. He checked out. He left this world of academia, found himself in a place called Le Arche in Quebec, and began to take care of people in a home for profoundly disabled, mentally and physically disabled people. And he came into contact with a young man by the name of Adam. Adam was profoundly autistic and mentally handicapped. We would think of him as being vegetative. Now in his writings of his diary, thought of him that way too when he first got there. As time would go by, he would begin to see Adam not through his own eyes, but through the eyes of God. He began to see that though he was not communicative in the way that you and I are expecting to have interactions and discourse with relationship, but in a very different way, he began to learn who Adam was. He began to appreciate who he was and even to be in awe of him, describing him as one of the most pure souls he ever met in his life. He was deeply moved and changed, not simply because he took a new way of looking at the world, but because he got out of the way. He, his ambitions, his interests, his intellect, his pride, his accomplishments, he put them aside so that he could see Adam through different eyes and understand the world in a different way. Towards the end of his life, Nouwen made this his central message. He impacted so many people. People were changed in what they expected ministry and teaching to be about. And when he died, he explained himself in a most eloquent way. In his funeral mass, he insisted that the vessels, the chalice that holds the wine of the mass, and the plate, the paten which holds the bread, instead of being gold or silver as they customarily would be made of clear glass. The message he wanted to make in his dying statement of his funeral is that we all should be perfectly transparent so that when we, the vessels of Christ, are amongst the people, that Christ will be perfectly visible through us, unfiltered by our own ambitions, our own pride, and our own sins. Now we would say that we should all seek to be perfectly transparent to Christ in us. Today we hear St. John the Baptist do something truly remarkable. John the Baptist, in the contemporary historians, people like Josephus and others, is more spoken of than Jesus. John the Baptist was like a nuclear explosion in first century Israel. Herod took notice of him, and you know how badly that ended. The Roman authorities took notice of him, and even the people. We hear in the earlier readings that people came from all over Galilee and down from Jerusalem to hear John. He was pertinent. He was a big deal. He had a lot of ears coming to hear him. And what we see in this reading today is that John, recognizing Jesus for who he is, does something truly remarkable and very hard for us to do. He throws his power, his influence, his pertinence, his fame right out the window and makes a big show of saying, look over here. This is it. This is the guy. This is the big show. Ignore what I'm saying. Listen to him. You think I was fun? You came to be my followers? Go here. In the middle, we hear the story of two disciples, his groupies, you know, his posse, his entourage. And they left him to go follow Jesus. And John doesn't say a word. He doesn't just take a subordinate role. He gets off the stage to make it a show about Jesus and not him. It's that transparency that we're all called to accomplish. It may, God willing, not look like what had to happen to John. We aren't going to see our heads put on a silver platter. But in a way, we've got to put our egos on a silver platter, just like John's head was put. We have to sacrifice our expectations, our demands, our idea of what we're due, our prestige, our pertinence, and sacrifice it to those whom God puts us to be the vehicle to bring him into the room. It's not easy. It's kind of scary and it's threatening, because who amongst us wants to become so transparent of our own needs and wants that others come first? It requires us to not look at them from our own perspective, but to look at the people in our lives with the eyes of God, to see them as God sees them, and then to sacrifice our egos, our needs, and our wants for them. You can hear me and think, this would cost me too much. It might be easier to have my head chopped off. But in truth, we hear the promise of two things. In the gospel and in Isaiah, there's a real us that we need to find. And we can only find it, like Nalan did, when we let go of who we think we are. God formed us in our mother's wombs to be his servants and to be someone. And we have to let go of who we made ourselves to be the people that God made us to be. I love the scene with Peter at the very beginning of his ministry with Jesus. He renames him. You are Cephas. Did he lose something? He gained everything. Who he really was became his identity because he got out of the way to be who Christ had named him to be. The other thing is, if you're afraid of giving up too much, the promise we hear from St. Paul is loud and clear. God will take care of us to the end. He can be trusted. He will fill whatever it is that we empty out. And that he is trustworthy and faithful. We risk nothing except to gain everything. I've said to you all before, and I want to leave you with this thought again. The kingdom of God is already among us. The extent to which we can enter into it now and here is only limited by the extent to which we cling to the things that we want as opposed to the things that God would give us. And the more that we're willing to let go of them and to be the people that Christ made us to be, we will enter that much further in the kingdom of God. It's a limitless promise and an opportunity extended to us to be those clear vessels for Christ.